Blog Talk Radio.
Savior, pastor of New Wine Ministries, Maranatha, everybody. He is risen. It is Resurrection Sunday. Today is the day where men and women around the world remember that life and death are not within our power, except for the confession of faith that we have made and continue to make, but it's in the power of the one who has been raised from the dead. There will be no resurrection of the economy. Not of America, not of atheism, agnosticism, Islam, Judaism, Satanism, masonry of every sort, not of government or any other thing, but only a people whose hearts are tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are awakened to the reality that death is roaming through the earth, and that the belly of hell is not satisfied, but hungry still, and has enlarged its mouth in order to devour its prey. Yes, the powers of darkness are coming to feast upon kings and princes and upon the flesh of animals and humans alike. For the time of justice to be served has come against the broad walls of Babylon, America. The fist of God shall drop like a hammer upon the inhabitants of the earth, and when America falls, its fall will be heard around the world, and the righteous shall be glad that this great daughter of the whore will be brought to dust and arise no more. But this news is not alarming to the righteous, for they have no fear of death, for their hearts and souls are knit to the Lord in an everlasting covenant through the blood of Christ. They have a promise that at the coming of the Lord, they shall be made alive and be resurrected from the grave, if they happen to have died in this world. However, there will be a people alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord, and surely they shall be changed in a moment, even the twinkling of an eye, and they shall be granted an eternal and indestructible life in glorified and eternal brand new bodies. Yes, it is the day of resurrection power, and the glory of the great King shall show forth his glory to the ends of the earth, through a people who are called the children of the resurrection. So lift up your heads, O children of Zion, and fear not the things that are coming upon the earth. No, leave that fear to those who have rejected the great news of salvation and have put their trust in vanity and lies. So what is coming? A mighty storm of violence to destroy. A mighty wave of destruction has arrived, and there is no turning it back. Brace yourselves, for it is upon us and is ready to break upon the nation. I want to share with you a series of four dreams. I hope you're not bored with hearing them, but they're very real, and they have a tremendous amount of reality to them. Back in August of 2019, when I went to bed Thursday night and just before arising Friday morning, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was in a church. It was a big church. And I was trying to warn the people of what was coming. Nobody was listening. The pastor was laying across a number of chairs with his chin on his shoulder, and he was laughing, and the people were laughing and acting silly. And I couldn't get through to them. The next part of the dream, I was sitting at an outdoor mall. It was a beautiful, sunny day. And it was the staccato type of look you would see, that orange clay that you would see in Arizona, something to that effect. And I remember sitting down with my wife, Patricia, to my right, another man to my left. And I didn't know who he was, but Patricia and he were talking about something very important, and they were getting along well. In front of me was a huge window, and I could see the reflection of what was behind me in it. Suddenly, I saw a flash, and then I heard gunshots ringing out. I stood up in my dream and everything changed, and I was now standing in what was an area where a fountain would have been flowing and people would toss their coins into. And as I was standing there, I started to hear people screaming, and they were running past me, and I could hear the gunshots. And I stood there and dropped my hands as I knew that the shooter was approaching. I woke up, and when I woke up, I said, no, I want to go back to bed. I want to see what happens. I immediately went back to sleep, and I was in another place on the East Coast, and I was somewhere at what I thought to be a airport or something like that. It was kind of a dark scene. I remember a big swimming pool, and again, the shots rang out. A shooter, an active shooter. I woke up. It was around 7 o'clock in the morning. I was shaken by what I had just seen. I gently woke Patricia, and I shared with her the dream. And she said, "You're not going to share that on radio, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I went to the radio broadcast that Friday morning, August 1st or 2nd, whatever day that was, back in August of 2019. I shared this dream, and then Saturday morning, when I woke up, on the ticker tape, a mall shooting in El Paso, Texas. Later on that evening, another shooting in Dayton, Ohio, on the East Coast. I had dreamt this exactly the way that it had come forth. The next dream that I had was about 7 months ago, and right here on Kerm Radio and on our daily radio broadcast over the internet, I shared this dream that I had seen Joe Biden. He had won the election, but something was wrong. He was terrified and concerned, like he had just inherited the whirlwind. And I saw it as clear as day, and I went on the radio and I said, "I had a dream." And some people said, "That's a nightmare. That can never happen. Joe Biden will never, ever become the president of the United States." And at that time, he was Sleepy Joe, Sloppy Joe, and all of his infamous actions were being portrayed before the eyes of the world. And many people thought it would be this one and that one. But here we are today. He is the head candidate. He's the lead man. And he's already made mention of having Hillary Clinton join him as his vice president when he's elected. I still hope it's a nightmare. I hope it doesn't come to pass, but it was a very vivid dream. The third dream that I had within this year, since August of 2019, was just a few weeks ago when I dreamt I was on a boat, living color. There were a lot of people on the boat. It was an older boat, and people were just getting things done. And all of a sudden, all these animals began to swim up to the boat. And I was looking at them as they were coming to the boat, and one particular animal was the most beautiful young tiger I had ever seen in my life. And it came to the side of the boat, and I helped it out of the water, and it was purring everywhere, and it was just so gentle, and it was orange with the black stripes. It was beautiful. And then these animals got on the boat. And then suddenly there was a sound, and everybody on the boat looked, and as they were looking, it was an amber-colored sky, and the most ominous dark cloud was coming. And I woke up from that dream. Ladies and gentlemen, not last night, but the night before, I had a fourth dream. And this dream was very unusual. I was in a house with some friends, and there was some activity going on, and there was a window, and I looked out the window, and I saw a wave. I saw a wave in living color. And I said to everybody, "Oh my God, look at this wave." And by the time I looked out the window again, the wave was upon us. It was over 500 feet high. It was massive. And it was right where we were looking out the window. There was no escaping it. There was no turning back. The wave was beginning to crest. And all I thought was, get low. And I woke up from the dream. When I woke up, I was a bit shaken. And I talked to the Lord about it. And he reminded me back in 2006 of a dream that I had had. In 2006, I was walking out on the sand of a beach. To my left were bleachers. There were people drinking a couple of beers, smoking some joints, and I was going to walk over to them in my dream and minister to them about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit told me not to do that. So I kept walking out, and I stood upon the shore of the sand looking out at the ocean. And while I was standing there, I saw what seemed to be hundreds of miles away, a massive wall of water. It was stretching all the way to the south, all the way to the north, and I looked at it, and it was solid, but it was hundreds of miles away. It was small, and it was there, and I had no reaction. I just went, I turned around. I was going to go to the people at the bleacher. Holy Spirit said, leave them alone. A friend of mine ran up to me in the dream, and he said, I need to know what you just saw. And not knowing, I just looked up, and there was a green highway sign with the call letters H-I and then a capital D. Well, for a couple of days, I didn't know what that was until somebody told me H-I are the call letters for Hawaii, and the D was a Democratic state, and that God was showing me that this wave that was coming was going to come to the west coast of the United States of America. Well, when I had the dream 2 nights ago about this tidal wave, the Lord said, this is the wave that you saw in 2006. It's no longer far off. It is now upon the nation. And we have been talking on this radio station for a few weeks now when I was preaching on Ezekiel 14 about the four sword judgments of the Lord that would come upon the land when we defiled the land. My brother Michael, to my right here, as a surfer in California, began to talk to us about the waves. He said, when you're a surfer and you're out on the beach, what the waves do is they come in sets. And he said they normally come in sets of four waves, and we always waited for the fourth wave because that was the biggest wave in the set. So we began to talk about the waves that are coming, that this coronavirus debacle that we're in right now is only the first wave. There are three more coming, and it's not going to be long distances, for when these come in sets, they come one after the other, as Brother Michael shared with us. I was watching a video clip of Governor Cuomo. Governor Andrew Cuomo was talking, and he was talking about what was going on in his city. And he had a chart next to him, and he said, and I quote, I no longer call it a curve, I call it a wave. Then he was reported of saying, remember 2017 in the big flu that killed 50-some-odd million people, he said, it came in three waves. These are the words out of the mouth of Governor Cuomo. And I want to say to Governor Cuomo today, I don't know if you're listening to us, you may be, because you're now quoting what we have been saying, that these are waves that are coming. But Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, I would ask you, sir, to humble yourself, to bow your knee before the living God, and repent and confess your mass murder of the innocent babies in January of 2019, right after the blood red wolf moon was in the skies. You and all your legislative people decided you're going to blaspheme God, war against God. You're going to say, we're going to pass laws for full-term abortion. We're going to murder the most innocent. And now you sit before the nation and you talk about how valuable we have to protect the people in our city. And yet you wanted to mass murder little babies that were laying on the tables? How dare you? You are under wrath, you are under judgment, and if you don't turn back and repent, Andrew Cuomo, and you're absolutely ashamed of the Italian heritage, you are an absolute shame for what you have done. And this judgment that's hitting your city is a direct correlation of your blasphemy against God and your pride. And I would encourage you, sir, to bow your knee and confess your sins and humbly repent before Almighty God, because the wave that's hitting you is going to hit Washington, D.C., and it's going to hit the rest of this nation, because the time of accountability has come for this daughter of Zion. And what is going to follow in the days ahead is hunger, famine, food shortages, terrorism, war, earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, and more pestilence. It is not over, America. This is only the first wave of a new phase of the righteous judgment of God upon the United States of America, and many, many people will die. I will not be surprised if the fourth wave, the great wave, will be the knockout punch in an electromagnetic pulse, where not only they have the citizens of America quarantined, but they will not be able to turn their water on, they will not flush their toilets, there will be no electrical power to bring food into their refrigerators, The knockout punch will be the lights out of Amos chapter 8. God will darken the earth in the clear day. Gentlemen, Maranatha, he is risen. I'm not afraid. You're not afraid. But this is the reality of what's going on in our world. Your thoughts as we enter into this moment. Pastor Ken, we'll start with you.
Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. And before we forget, we're on the AM dial only today again, so on 790. So if you are listening on that, please switch over your dials to 790 now. But, Pastor, you're right on the money again. You know, and I can't help but think of talking about waves. I read one on a geological special that I had on TV, and there's an island, and it's roughly about 20 miles long. I can't remember exactly where it's located, but it's someplace in the Atlantic. And that island is very earthquake-prone, and it's got some high ranges on it. And the last earthquake, about a quarter of the island slipped off, split in half, and half of it split off. And they said on the next earthquake that happens on that island, it's going to send about 20 miles long of earth right into the oceans and create a tsunami wave. And they tested it out in don't remember who did the testing on it, but they said that wave that's going to come, it will hit the entire east coast of the United States. And they said the minimum height of that wave will be 800 foot. They said more likely 1,200 foot from all that debris that went into the water, that tsunami wave that it's going to create. So it's very extremely feasible, everything that you said about the waves coming in. And Pastor Michael, the same thing. But that's something that you're not going to be able to do a thing about it. You know, and that's it. It's going to be one of those deals like it's all over with. Then I heard another report talking about off the coast of California. When that quirk goes off over there, they'll have less than 30 minutes to get out. Now, how are you ever going to get out of that L.A. area and all the rest of San Diego area in less than 30 minutes? There's no way.
Yeah, it's tough.
And so, I mean, when these things hit, it's all over with. And there's no turning back, and you had better be ready.
Yeah, you know, I always believe that God establishes himself through dreams, through two or three people. And I have to say that I, too, had a dream, Pastor Vincent. I shared it at the Tabernacles last year, and that I saw at the, on the horizon this big wall of water at the edge of the horizon. And I was standing on the beach. Everybody was still doing their sunbathing. They were doing their things, riding their bike on the boardwalks. And I was saying, do you see this? But nobody was paying attention. And it was getting closer, and I started, does anybody see this? The sky was blue, high clouds, gorgeous, people still doing about their business. And it was coming closer halfway, and it was getting taller. And I'm going, gosh, does anybody see this? Nobody paid attention. And pretty soon, the wall of water came closer, but then the sky turned dark and gray. And all of a sudden, people, I looked, and they were panicking. They're in confusion. They're running from the beach. They were people running circles. They were terrified. They're trying to get in their cars out of the parking lot at the beach, and it was just traffic jam. And I all of a sudden I found myself that I couldn't do anything. I was in a cocoon, and I saw this wave, and what it did, it came, lifted me up, and it washed the people away where they were just drowning in the water, and they were just circulating in all this current. It was like if you took a hose to a colony of ants. I bet you a lot of people have done that. And you just see them wash away. And there was, but the thing was, I could do nothing. You know, but the warning was that I say, do you see this? And that's what I believe is happening today, is that those that have ears to hear, this is a spiritual wave, and I believe it could be a physical wave as well, that is going to drown the sorrows, a sorrow tidal wave. There's going to be mass confusion when this wave hits. And there's people are not going to know what to do. It's going to be literally chaos. And so I look at this. I always stand in awe of one thing. When I stood on the coast and I see these massive storm waves come in and they break, I'm down at La Jolla Cove, and I always see these 15, 20-foot waves break with this massive white water, and I'm standing maybe, people are standing 40, 50 yards from where they're breaking, and they seem to subside, and they hit the cliff, but they never go past the cliff. I read a scripture, And I was thinking about this last night when Pastor Vincent was sharing this about the big wave. A scripture in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 29. I remember this. He said, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Meaning, you ever notice that the water just stays on the coastline? It never goes past 5 miles. It never goes past 10 miles because God has decreed it. He says not to go past. I really believe the hand is being lifted up. And I'm saying, woe unto the coastlands. I'm saying all those who dwell in the cities. I'm saying, woe unto you that don't have ears to hear to prepare and to get out of places that the Lord is telling you to get out of, even in your mind, in your heart. Let me say, you're going to be drowning in your sorrows. You're going to be drowning in confusion if you're hit by this wave. Look at what COVID-19 has already done. It has stopped things from operating, and people are dumbfounded. People are afraid. People are in confusion. People are paranoid. There is rage going on. There is saying, don't get near me. It's evident. This is just a part of it. Can you imagine the mass humanity of the uproar of the confusion that's coming, Pastor Vincent? This is a time to really pay attention. And I have to say one thing. Maranatha, he has risen.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. And we will get there. You know, it was eerie driving up here today as the freeways were empty. And you get to the Three Cross Church to come up New Hope Road, and it's an empty parking lot, and the big Pentecostal church on the left coming up was empty, and all the little churches and larger churches were empty, and you're thinking that all the people are in their homes today, and the government is clapping hands and saying, oh, you're a bunch of really good citizens. We're so glad that you're doing what, you know, what needs to be done. We got you in your homes. We have you washing your hands again, and you're doing such a good job, and everybody's so proud of the American people, and they're all at home, and they're doing what their government is so proud of them to be doing, and they're waiting for the wave to pass. They're waiting for it to crest. They're waiting for it to end. And so now that it's over, we could all come outside, and it's going to be a bright, sunshiny day. And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the inhabitants of the earth and to this country is, no, the moment you open your door to walk out, the next wave will come. Pastor Mike, you said that these waves come in sets. How quick do they come?
Oh, they come. As a surfer, it depends on the biggest storm. They can come 15 seconds apart, 20 seconds apart. The bigger the wave, the greater the distance, like 20 seconds. But those are big ground swells. So right now, this first one, we say COVID-19, it could be the first wave. But, you know, this next wave that comes, you really don't have time to breathe. You really don't have time to think. You got to be on guard because you got to go through the next wave to get over. So it's quick.
So don't be caught off guard.
Don't be caught off guard.
And so these waves could be likened to contractions of a woman in birth.
Yes.
And so what we're looking at in this particular phase of God's dealings with the United States of America is that the time of her birth has come, and what is being brought forth is not good. Something is dying in America. They talk about the island off the just off the city streets of New York City. There's an island where they're taking all the bodies to bury them, Heart Island or something.
Island?
No, it's not Staten Island. It's a Heart Island or something like that, where bodies are being taken out in the bags. They're putting them in trucks. And, you know, we sit here today and we really don't understand the scope or the magnitude of what's going on right now with this coronavirus around the world and how it may resurge again. And they want people to stay in their houses more and more and watch out for the resurgence. And but what God is saying to the inhabitants, to those that have an ear to hear, you have to understand you're in something right now. We have read to you out of Leviticus 26 how God deals in these phases. And he says, if you will not be reformed by these, then I'm going to bring even more upon you. And so, obviously, the big question is, what needs to be done to turn this off? And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, nothing. There's nothing. The only thing a person could do today to prepare themselves is to continue to go low with Jesus. Because the death that is coming right now is hid from the eyes of the world. We're not seeing it except for on TV. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. The Bible tells us that we're going to be walking around dead bodies. Whatever is coming in the next phase, in the next wave of this judgment, the next birth pang that's coming, and according to what we're hearing, it's not going to be long. You hardly have a chance to get through one and another one comes. Is something that's going to do something to the heartbeat. It's going to do something to the mind where we begin to see the devastation and the destruction that is at our doors. Now, it's here right now. So people go, oh, we don't want to hear that. That's bad news. We want to hear of the reprieve. We want to get out of this. And what is it everywhere I turn? Here's what everybody says. We've got to get back to work. The lifeblood of America is people working. And I've got news for you. If that's your lifeblood, America, you're going to die. You're going to die. The lifeblood of the United States used to be the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The lifeblood of America was not the economy. The economy was blessed because the lifeblood was Christ. Because the people honored God in our country. The people honored the Lord. It was against the law to be a homosexual. It was against the law to be a lesbian. It was against the law to be a pedophile. It was against the law to have an abortion. We used to understand the value of life. We had a culture of life. It was against the law for Hollywood to promote a movie with bad language in it. Pornography was outlawed in the United States of America. We used to know. We used to know. But we have forgotten. We have forgotten. And so, coronavirus, a lot of people are dying all around us, but that's really not what God is saying is coming. It's the first part of the labor pains. The next ones, I mean, from what I'm hearing Pastor Ken and Pastor Michael say, a tsunami from the east, a tsunami from the west, terrorism from the south and the north, only God knows where it will be. Will it be more floods? Will it be more earthquakes? Will it be more hurricanes? Will there be more volcanoes? Will there be more tornadoes? What kind of pestilences will rise? What kind of terrorism will stalk our streets? Will it be the release of anthrax? Will there be a new pestilence? Will it be terrorism on the perfect day of Islam? What will it be, America? Well, God is telling us through His Word. This is not from the experts. This is not from Homeland Security. This is not from the NSA, the FBI, the CIA. This is not from any agency of man upon the earth. This is from the Word of God. The same Word of God that was spoken to this nation, warning it. If you do not repent, you are going to suffer, and we are suffering right now. But very few people want to acknowledge that the Word of God has been spoken. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to give God the glory. Nonetheless, it has been spoken. Now the time is going to come where the food shortages, which are going to produce hunger, which is going to produce a mindset of crime, where people are going to start doing bad things. Listen, death is now prowling the earth. Death. And that's why on the day of resurrection, we have confidence that when I go to church today at 2 o'clock and gather with the saints, we're going to preach the resurrection of Jesus, a message that belongs to the ecclesia. The only thing I could say to the unbelievers is confess and repent and get into Christ so that you could understand the good news of the resurrection. But right now, much death is prowling. You're hearing it everywhere. Death has been released. Death has been unleashed. And I had a dream two nights ago of a massive wave. Now, if my dream about Joe Biden being president was from the Lord, that means there will be an election in November. But there's something deadly wrong. Something is terribly wrong. And it's not because the Republicans lost. It was way beyond that. There's something wrong by that time. Will the next three waves that hit the United States of America occur all the way up until the election in November? Yes. The answer is resoundingly yes. The next wave you're going to see is probably going to be somewhere in May or June or maybe even at the end of April. And this word of God is going to be confirmed. This is not me. I have no pleasure personally setting the Bible aside to say these things. I was given a word the day before coronavirus showed up, and that word was Isaiah 47:11. Behold, an evil comes from where you do not know. A mischief rises, and you will not be able to put it off. A destruction comes. And that's exactly what has happened. An evil has come. Nobody knows where it came from. They're still questioning. A mischief rises. You won't be able to put it off. They wanted to have it put off by today, but no, it's not. They can't put it off. And a destruction comes in that part of the Word of God. That was given the day before coronavirus was ever heard about or talked about in the United States of America. And then it happened, and we're here. Few people want to acknowledge the Word of God. They think it's something coming from a man. It's not. It's the Word of God. And I stand for the Word of God. I'm a defender of the Word of God. I exalt the Word of God because I believe God's Word is more powerful than all governments on this earth combined. I believe He's the all ruler. I believe He sits in the heaven and laughs and mocks at the calamity of those who hate Him. I warned months ago on this radio broadcast, Proverbs chapter 1, that if you will reject the knowledge of the Lord will mock you when your calamity comes. I do not believe God is in heaven weeping over these things. I believe He's allowing them, and He's warning that more powerful waves are coming than what you're looking at right now. And if you have a mindset that, man, if we this is hard, and if we just get through this, everything's going to be all right. No. What the president of the United States of America is attempting to do and needs to do even louder is call this nation to repentance and ask the God of heaven and earth, like George Washington, other presidents throughout the United States, call this nation to repentance and then acknowledge our sins, that we have flooded every home with pornography and wickedness out of Hollywood. And then we need to send forces into Hollywood and shut them down from their blasphemy. We used to have laws that regulated the speech. Why can't we do it again? We used to have laws that protected the innocent babies in the womb. Why can't we have it again? We used to have laws that protected our psyche from homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, pedophilia. Why can't we have them again? What our government needs to do is stand and call this nation to prayer and confession and repentance. Don't ask God for help without confessing our sins. Don't ask God, come on, God, get this thing over so we can get the economy working again while we're still slaughtering babies, while we're still marrying homosexuals and lesbians. No. That's not the way it works. And if the people in this country believe just because we need to get back to work, well, ladies and gentlemen, I heard the president of the United States say America has to get up and back to work because we're not built to be shut down. Well, we weren't built to murder babies in the womb. We weren't built to shed innocent blood. We weren't built to pass laws up for homosexuality and lesbianism. We weren't built for these things, ladies and gentlemen. We weren't built to saturate our homes with pornography and our little children as young as 5, 6, 7, and 8 becoming prey to pedophile men. We weren't built to have kids watching pornography. We weren't built for these things either. That's not how we were built. It's what we have become in one generation. And we are now witnessing the righteous response to such blasphemy. But the leaders in our country have been so arrogant, they have been so proud to stand before the Lord and go along with what these legislators and lawmakers have allowed to happen in our country. And now we're beginning to pay the price, and we just all want to go back to work? No. Shut down those things. The Supreme Court of the United States of America should rule now to end abortion. They should rule now to stop giving license to homosexuals and lesbians. They should rule now to put a leash on Hollywood. They should rule now to make pornography illegal again. They should begin to bring the nation back. They should do it right now. And then maybe we would see some reprieve. Because as of this moment, the wave that I saw two nights ago in my dream, it's impossible to be turned back. It's impossible. And I'm telling you, when I looked and I saw that wave, I was shocked in my dream at the height of it, the power of it. And when God told me that's what you saw in 2006 and it has now arrived. Go ahead, gentlemen. Take it over from there.
You know, Pastor, you talk about the waves. I remember one Christmas we went over to Kauai for a vacation. And those winter storms are huge coming across the Atlantic. Now, day before, they told us, go on up to the shoreline because there's 40-foot breakers coming in. And we couldn't make it that day. We went up the next day. There was only 20-foot breakers. But I went down to the beach and watched when they were coming in, and I started backing up. Even though I knew how far they were going to come up, I was backing up because they scared the daylights out of me. And when they hit the ground, that ground shook like an earthquake. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this power. Now, we talked about some of these other waves that you've seen. Can you imagine? That was a 20-foot wave, and it was unbelievable the power it had.
This was over 500 feet in the one I saw in my dream.
And the other one I talked about, too, was 800 to 1,200 foot. It's all over with. But, you know, I'm thinking about all these different things, and I can't help but think the time of the year that we're in right now, Jesus on Friday, on this past Friday, in memory of him, we celebrate what he had done, the perfect sacrifice, all sin wiped out once and for all when we accept him, accept what he has done for us, and take that and attribute it to the Father with his infinite mercy and grace and love. Yeah, and it was a beautiful thing, but even on the cross, he was mocked. He was mocked by all of the Jews. And is it any different today? He's being mocked again.
Not all the Jews. A lot of Jews had accepted Christ, okay?
True. Stand corrected on that. But I'm talking about the Pharisaical Jews and all the rest of them, how they mocked him. And yet he accepted all that, took all that upon him as well. And, you know, is it any different today? Because we're doing the exact same thing, the non-Christians and, you know, and all these other people are just mocking God the exact same way. He's going to have to respond one way or another to the very things that we're going ahead and going that we're doing on here. You know, I can go down to New York City right now, and I can go ahead and have any kind of the worst deviant sex you can ever think of is all available to you right there. And you can find it any place in the city you want to go ahead and go. And we're doing all this, and we're mocking God the exact same way that those Pharisaical Jews did themselves. So we've got to change, and I can't see God. And what was his the response was unbelievable, what God was going to go ahead and do. And I believe these storms that we're talking about, the waves, we're going to see wave after wave of sicknesses, disease. Could be meteorites coming on down. It could be any number of things that very way. But God's going to have his way. And if these are still warning signs, just like the book, The Harbinger, that's what I see these waves as, like the harbingers that Jonathan Cahn wrote. You know, and if you don't change, this is what's going to happen. And the very things you're talking about, I believe, are going to happen unless we get on our faces, change, and come back to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness and be with him.
Yeah, you know, Pastor Ken, as you were speaking and bringing back memories when I was over in Kauai surfing those big waves in Hanalei Bay is what you're mentioning. And the one thing I know is that those big waves got your attention.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was out there, they looked smaller from shore. But when you get out there and into the sets, they're bigger. And my heart was in my throat. I'm going, this is challenging. Okay? And so I was up there, you know, after 40 years of surfing, I was at the peak of my career, so to speak. And I knew what my craft was. I knew what I could do. And I put myself in places. And when those waves broke, they sounded like, we call them freight trains. Because when you're on it, all you can hear is this big roar behind you. You know, sound effects, I can't, well, you know, just a big sound effect of roar. And so I'm thinking, okay, this wave that's going to break, it's going to roar. It's going to bring fear. You know, I'm thinking, okay, these waves have brought fear. Look what the first wave has already done. There's going to be a greater release in this wave of fear. Okay, what's the greatest fear that man has? The fear of death. And we're seeing death. People are getting afraid. They're huddling up. God is in this to get people's attention, like those big waves got your attention, Pastor Ken. And when you're not used to something, there's a lot of people who are afraid of water. They won't go into water. There's an inner fear unless you're used to it and you overcome it. And this is what God wants us to do, is to show these things through these events to his church, to the ecclesia, to the body, that inner fears that you still have need to be overcome. This is for the whole world. And to overcome, but it'll show you also how far away you are from the Lord. I suggest, as you hear these, you know, the prophets are speaking throughout this world to prepare yourself. It's really interesting how God delivers firsthand news, how the prophets get the firsthand news and share it, and then the world gets the second part of it. They're hearing it. Okay, like the waves. Well, we hear it, so God wants us to be prepared for the coming waves that are coming upon this earth. And it's going to be a great release of fear. I say this, that when the waves hit and how huge it is, you want to get to higher ground. And Jesus Christ says, hey, in Hebrews, you have come to Mount Zion, the highest mountain of all mountains. And that's where, to the general assembly, to the firstborn, to the numerous of angels. And that's where he wants us to be walking in the Spirit, so when these waves hit, they wash underneath us. We'll feel the effects because of the roar, the fear of the masses of people, but we won't be in it. We'll be above it. We'll be above it, and that's where he wants us to be. So in this time, when there's a time of repentance and confession, saying, Lord, I'm so far away from you right now. I got to get closer to you. Hear the call. Hear the call of the Father. Hear the call of the Lord say, come, get under my wing, confess your sins, get under Psalm 91 that you're saying, you know. And this is the time when Jesus said in John, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. You know, you could be dead in your mind, you could be dead in hearing not the voice of the God, but he said he shall live because there'll be a voice of repentance to be heard. And then he says in 26 of John, he says, whoever shall liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. What hope? What peace? What comfort? Do you believe this? And he asked the question to Martha, do you believe this? He was talking about, of course, Lazarus. And we knew that Lazarus was raised. But anyways, the voice of the Lord is speaking. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Again, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will what? Guide us into all truth. I praise God for this moment, for that we're in right now. I praise God for, because the voice of love is going out to his beloved, yet there's a voice of repentance going out to the nations. And I hope everybody has ears to hear.
Well, they do. I know they're listening, Michael. And in Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, we happen to live in the age of little ones being hurt by our society, whether it's through pedophilia, like Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island in the sex trade of young women, or even little boys and little girls, or through abortion. America has a millstone wrapped around its neck right now. It's about to be cast into the sea of humanity like nations before us. And we are preparing the body of Christ for this. And we're not devoid of the knowledge and the good news of the resurrection. We just don't want to play right now, church. We don't want to play with the grace of God. We don't want to play with the message of the resurrection and everybody put on their suits and go to church and all of that stuff. No, the resurrection, by the time we minister on the resurrection,
is going to have deep spiritual impact for God's people right now. Because as the millstone is going to take a nation down, as Michael just said, the resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit are going to be raising people up. We are not afraid of death. Death has been abolished. Death has been defeated. To that there is no doubt according to our faith. No, we're not without understanding about the day we are in. We love the Lord. We love Father God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We give place to Him. We honor Him. We exalt Him. And we happen to live in a nation where many people had made the wrong move against Him. And we defend Him. We're like little kids saying, don't touch my dad. And I know that it's not in our power to do anything. He could defend Himself. But we're not just going to let this slide and pretend it's Resurrection Sunday and everything is okay. No, the real meaning of the resurrection has to have power in your own life. You have to know for yourself right now that the resurrection power of God is in you through the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. You need to not be afraid, but don't be arrogant either. There is a storm that is coming. Don't play with this. No, the meaning of the resurrection needs to be settled and established in your soul. You need to know when you're walking around, when plagues come, that death has no power over your life. You need to know that the spirit of life is in you, the spirit of resurrection life. And if you were to physically die in any of these events, or just, you know, going to sleep and not waking up the next morning, you need to know and make sure that prior to your physical death, that the spirit of life is in you. You need to make sure, you need to say to God, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and I receive the gift of eternal life in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Jesus said that if a little boy asked his father for a fish, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for bread, would he give him a rock? And he said, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? The Holy Spirit is eternal life. And if we physically die, that eternal spirit that dwells in our spirit and soul, not just in our physical body and our flesh, but in our soul, the resurrection is sure. And you definitely want to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you have this. Are there proofs? Yes, there are proofs that could be found in your life that you do have the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, your paradigm about life shifts. You have a paradigm shift. You go from a worldly, temporal state of existence to a heavenly, eternal state of existence. You're no longer awed at the things of the world. You're more awed at the things of heaven. You are living not by what the world tells you. You're living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Spirit of God comes into you and suddenly you're able to do things you never were able to do before. The Holy Spirit comes into you and you have these gifts given to you. The Holy Spirit comes into you and you're more animated than you've ever been before. And everything is about the glory of God. You have a hunger for the Bible, the Word of God, and you feed your spirit. That's a proof of the Holy Ghost. Suddenly, when you used to be angry, you're now more gentle. When you used to have hate and bitterness and resentment, you have more love. When you used to be sad and depressed, you have more joy. These are evidences of the Holy Spirit coming into your life. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection is real. And our Lord Jesus Christ did rise from death. And there's no doubt about that, that it took place 2,000 years ago. Above 500 witnesses testified, but the evidence is in your life and in my life. You have to have the proof on the inside of you. Not a mental religion, but a spiritual experience. Not something that is external, but something that's internal. A vital intimacy, a union with Christ that you've never had before. You can have that today if you would really, genuinely. I mean, how many times have you heard about this gospel message? In America, we hear it all the time. In other parts of the world, they've never heard it. And this gospel has to be preached to the ends of the earth. But when are you going to hear it
in your heart and understand that right now it's vital that you know life, because death is coming. Death is coming. We are all going to die physically unless the Lord returns in our generation. Some of us will be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord, and we will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And all the signs of the times are telling us that the coming of the Lord draws near. And these judgments are only a sign that on the other side of them is the glory of God, the coming of the Lord. These are all preceding events according to the scriptures. But right now, if you or I were to physically die, are you at peace with God in your heart right now? Have you honored Him? Have you reverenced the King? Do you live for His glory, for His will? Do you love Him? Do you worship Him? Do you praise Him? It's not about going to church. There are a lot of people that go to church that don't love God. Let's be real. There are a lot of people that do a lot of things, good works, but they're not saved. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you are, because you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you believe that message, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you have access to the Spirit. You can now ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, and He will take you to places you've never dreamed. He will put gifts inside of you that He's been wanting to give you from the beginning of time. He will give you power and authority. He will give you purpose and destiny. He will give you a reason to live on this short-lived earth so that you can honor Him and live for Him and do and get set on fire. The Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, gets a hold of some people, and they are so absolutely radically transformed from the inside out. You can't temper their fire. You can't hold them back. You cannot systematize them and put them in a little rigid church and get them to be like your little denomination. No! They're so far outside of that. And what we need right now is not a church that goes into a building. We need a church that will stand up in this generation and say, we are not afraid. We are alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are not afraid of these days. And we declare unto you that you do not have to be afraid either. Let the church arise in America, not the organized religious system. It is dead. It's been dead for a long time. But the organic, living people who have the Spirit of God in them, awaken to your moment of destiny and understand what time it is and be fearless. Be fearless. And don't let your eyes be on men. Let your eyes be on Jesus. He will guide you through the storm. He will navigate you as the shipmaster. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth so that the deception that is on the minds of the masses will not become a part of your existence. Wake up, church. There is the power of God on the inside of you. The power of God lives in you. And Jesus Christ wants to manifest His glory through you. To your family, to your friends, be the light bearer. I know I bore bad news today for the world, but not for you. And let the world come now like ripe fruit for the harvest. Bring in the harvest of souls that will ask God to forgive them for what they've done. And will confess their sins and repent and say, God, I've lived selfishly. I've lived for myself. I've ignored you time and time again, and I've done it my own way. Forgive me, for we, like sheep, have all gone away. But Lord, I return to you. I want to come home. I want to come home. I'm the prodigal son. I'm the prodigal daughter. I don't want to live in this sin-sick world anymore with the dark clouds of justice coming upon it. I want to come into your refuge. I want to come into your arms. I want to come under your wings. I want my soul to be at peace. I want to come home. I want to do it right. I want you to be first. And I want your kingdom to be my eternal reality. Jesus, my Savior. Yeshua, my Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. You died for them. There's no sin I've committed that's too hard for you to take away. The guilt and the shame and the condemnation of what I've done. I can't carry the burden any longer. But Jesus, you took it. You took it upon yourself. You took it into hell. And you rose from death with the keys of hell and death. And you have the right to give me eternal life. And I take it. I want it, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. But with a church that's locked up because they're fearing what man can do. A church that's locked up that's afraid to talk. A church that's locked up that's afraid to rise. That's not good. You must rise. And again, I want to say personally, thank you, Governor Hutchinson, for allowing the church to gather together in Arkansas. Thank you for not forcing us to our homes. Thank you for giving us the choice that we wanted to make, because we have seen the glory of God in our meetings from the time people stopped going to church. We have stayed open, and we thank God, not because of a cavalier, rebellious, defiant spirit, but because we prayed. And because we prayed, 2 weeks ago, a woman was walking down the street with a broken leg, and a sister in our church picked her up and said, "Hey, I'm going to church. You want to come?" She was tattooed. She was broken. She came to our church. She sat in the front row. I was preaching, and she and I started to talk. Next thing I know, there she is, took over the service. The place was packed out because people want to gather together for church. And she started telling how she was raped when she was six, how she was stolen and beaten and abused and broken. And all her world was devastated, and she got into drugs and alcohol, and she's pouring her heart out. And we told her to come up, and I called the whole church to surround this young girl, this woman. And they surrounded her, and we laid hands on her, and we prayed for her. And after about 10 minutes of concentrated prayer, this woman's eyes opened, and she was like a woman that was alive from death, and she was looking. And all of a sudden, people noticed that the whole countenance on her face was changed. She accepted Jesus into her heart. That wouldn't have happened if we were on radio, video. That happened because we were gathered together. And all the angels rejoiced because she accepted Christ into her heart that day, two Sundays ago. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to these men of God as they talk to you now. Go ahead, men of God.
You know, Pastor, I've never heard you speak so clearly and succinctly with a heartfelt cry to all those who are listening. And I pray to God that the Spirit of God will go into them and they will listen and hear what you have just said. You know, but yet I can hear others, like in Jesus' time, the mockers. I can hear them today saying the same thing. Ah, he's full of bull. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm okay. I can take care of myself. And even some of the other people will say, hey, I got the high ground. Nothing's going to hurt me. Nothing's going to come about. I'm perfectly fine. I'm prepared for everything that happens. Well, I'd like to remind people of one thing. One little prophet that was in the Bible, his name was Noah. And all the people began to feel the same way. They would mock him. And look what happened. Only Noah and his family survived the flood that came, and every other person and every other animal living on the face of the earth was destroyed. Except for what God had done for the few that he put onto the ark. And that's the race that we have today, all descending them from them. So this is something to remember. You can think you have everything under control, but God is in control. And until we come to him and know him, we'll never know his will for each and every one of us. So let's get prepared. You think you're on the high ground, but what if God let loose with a flood like he did before and you're taken away? Now, that can come in many different forms, but you better believe that God can go ahead and do it if he's done it before, and he can do it again. Amen. You better know him.
You know, I heard the passion of Christ. I heard the passion of the Father's heart billowing out from deep within. To those that he loves so much, to those that have been captivated by fear and are afraid to come out, I want you to know that our Father's heart is for the weakest vessel. Our God, our Father, is for the underdog in heart. Our Father is for the one that has been misused, abused. And tonight, today, this morning, He's saying, come on out. Come out wherever you are from within. And don't be afraid and to receive me. And if you are one of those, I'm saying to you, come on out. Receive the salvation of your heart. Receive the life that you've never had before. For we are testifying today in this sound booth to you, to this studio, that before we were dark and we were unsaved, but yet the light of Jesus Christ came to my heart, to our hearts. Why? Because we heard messages like this. We were broken, drugged out, confused, abused. Little boys, little girls deep down, even though we were 30 years old, hiding from the fear of the boogeyman, hiding from the fear of those things that captivate us, by those things that we were afraid of. Yet Jesus says, I died for that. Come, and I want to give you life and life in abundance. I am here for you, He says. I am here for you. Come, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No longer shall you be in turmoil of heart or mind. I want to give you rest like no other. For He says there's a day coming that He's saying, He's warning, that all those that dwell on the face of the earth, He hopes that none of you be caught by the snare of the fear that's coming on the earth. He wants to set you free. And this is the hour. This is the moment. Oh, I plead with you, those that have ears to hear, come forth. Receive Him in your heart. Receive Him in your heart. This is the cry of the Father. This is the cry of our Lord. And this is our heart cry here in this studio. There is life, and there is life in abundance. And this is what we want. Because we received it freely, He wants you to have it freely. And there's nothing to be ashamed. Come on forth. Be set free from your sins. Be set free so you may live. For the hour is getting dark, but the light is rising in our hearts. Because Christ is rising in our hearts. Don't be left out, for this is the moment and this is the time for life. Hallelujah.
Well said. Hallelujah. Brother Michael, Pastor Ken, wonderful words. I know they can go on and on. It's time now for endurance. You have been trained up. You're a Christian. You've been walking with the Lord. You have now come to the endurance part of your race. And the Bible says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. The mighty waves and the winds that are ready to blow upon this earth are all the signs of the coming Antichrist kingdom. They are all the signs of the great tribulation that are ready to rise. All over the world, the stage is being set. The nations are being gathered together. There are many people that are going to leave this planet before we get to the great tribulation. By the time we get there, it will be the greatest endurance race of our lives. There is no pre-tribulational rapture. There is no hiding. There is no escape. It is a time for endurance, whether you're in the wilderness, whether you're in the midst of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, whether you're a martyr and are killed for your faith in Jesus Christ, or whether you are alive and remaining through this storm to the coming of the Lord. It's time for endurance now. It's time to go low. It's time to set your forehead like flint. It's time to bear through the trials that are coming. Amazing things are ready to happen on this earth. And Jesus Christ, keep looking at Him, because not a one of us are ever going to have to go through what He went through. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before Him. Set your eyes on Jesus. The hour is late. Hey, if you have a question or comment today, we want to open the telephone lines up to you. The number to call, 479-636-7979. We've got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast. Gentlemen, anything else? We're good?
We're good.
I just stand in awe of him.
We're good. We're good.
You know, there is one thing I will say in the book of Revelations on here, and I just lost it in here, but it's basically, again, Jesus saying at the end on here, be awake, be awakened, hear my word, know my word, and when I come, you will be with me. You know, and it's that was my own paraphrase on here. But, oh, there we go. I just had it here. There we go. At the very end, he says on here in Revelations, at the end of the book of Revelations on here.
While you're getting there, Pastor Ken, just hold that thought for just a moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to take these next few minutes, and I just want to give thanks to the people that have followed our ministry. We've been on Kern Radio. April was the first time. We've got a number of calls coming in, so let's go ahead and hold that thought, and let's go ahead and take some calls here this morning. And so, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, Van.
Yes.
This is Joanne Hunter in Grove.
Hello, Joanne.
And I wanted to share with you spot on that I was listening last Sunday at 12:30 to Gary Culp. He's out of Neo Show.
Okay.
And something very interesting and uncharacteristic of him is that he interjected among all of the scripture that he was using for the day, the fact that somebody had told him that there was going to be an asteroid hit the West Coast, Southern California, and Northern New Mexico, Mexico coast. And I didn't know if I was listening to an old program, but my family has been unable to find on the Internet the fact that an asteroid is even coming tomorrow. So I just wanted to share that with you, that it was very interesting to listen to you today.
Okay.
And I love hearing you. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Joanne. Yeah, asteroids are possible. There's no doubt that would create tsunami waves. Let's take our next call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. I'll have to turn this off.
Turn the radio down.
Yeah, just turn the radio down would be great.
Okay. I just wanted to say that if we would not swallow all the stuff the government's trying to feed us and stand up for our Christian rights, the Bible tells us, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together in my name. And they're shutting the churches. And if the Christian people would attend and God would spare the Christians, it would show the government how wrong and how right the people are, how wrong they are and how right the citizens are. If we just would not listen to what all this stuff they're feeding us. And I think it's a lot of it is because they think it's just human they're dealing with, and it's so that they say, wash your hands, that's going to be okay. But they're not looking at the soul, because the soul needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and the cleansing comes from the soul instead of the physical hands, and that the government don't see that.
Well, thank you. Yes.
I had a dream the other night, too, that the people who are standing up and fighting to murder babies are going to see as many people in the grown-up world die as the babies they've murdered.
Yes. Okay, very good. I think that would be the righteous judgment of God. Thank you very much for that call. I appreciate it. Heavy duty. Let's take our next call. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
They say, wash your hands. That's going to be okay. They're not looking at the soul, because the soul needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and the cleansing comes from the soul instead of the physical.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah, you want to listen to the phone. All right, let's take our next call if there's one on the line. May I ask who's on the call? Somebody right now, if you're on your phone, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Good morning. As of right now, I think what is happening is people are fearing the virus, which they need to respect the virus. But what they need to fear is they need to fear God, because judgment is God's. And I'm not saying that this is God's judgment. I don't know. But I do know that we are to respect the Lord and fear him, because he is the creator. He gives life. He takes life away. And so what we need to be doing is spending more time praying right now. People are afraid to go out. People are afraid to go to church. People are walking in many different levels of knowing God, and they need to get back to him.
Yeah, a lot of people today are viewing this as a great reset that's happening and a wonderful vacation for all the Americans that have been working so hard. What a slanted view to perceive what's happening as dead bodies are going everywhere, that this is vacation time, and yet that message is being promoted. You're right on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom for anybody on the earth. God bless you, and thank you for the call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are just simply out of time, and we're going to say goodbye. I did want to say to everybody today, thank you for helping us stay on the air. It's been 7 years we have been on KIRM Radio, and the Lord, through you, has kept us on the air. We want to remind everybody that this is a season of offerings to the Lord, and if you have a Passover offering or you want to donate a special gift to this ministry, there's a commercial coming up right now that could show you how to do it. If you want to do it by your phone, you could do that as well. But before I get off the air saying thank you to all of you, Pastor Ken, go ahead and share that verse, and we got to go.
Last book of Revelation, the very last chapter, the last two verses. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Have a super blessed Resurrection Sunday, saints.
Till bless you
again.
All.
Shalom.
Peace.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. Thank you for tuning in every Wednesday and Sunday right here on KIRM Radio. It has been a great joy and a privilege to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ over these airwaves. We plan on being here for the entire year, broadcasting the events that we see coming upon our nation and around the world. Our job is to equip every single saint of God to be prepared for the days that lie ahead. We are not projecting a spirit of fear, but preparation. We believe this is an important time. We also want to encourage people to live an abundant life in Jesus Christ. This will be the greatest year in many people's lives. I am asking that you will help us financially as we move through this year to get the word out. I'm looking for partners to join with me this year in paying our bills every month right here on this KIRM Radio program. And if that is one of you, please contact me at area code 858-864-8712 or text me at 858-864-8712. Thank you very much for your support. God bless you. And if you are ready to send an offering or a gift to the ministry, send it to P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. Once again, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. May God bless you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and I would like to cordially invite you to come out every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., every Saturday evening at 5:30 p.m., every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for one of our worship services over at New Wine Ministries. The address is 2262 Forest Hills Boulevard in Bella Vista, Arkansas. Once again, 2262 Forest Hills Boulevard in Bella Vista, Arkansas. You won't be disappointed. You're going to meet a great group of people. Until we meet you face to face, this is Pastor Vince. God bless you.
We remind our church audiences that KIRM's programs are streamed live on the internet. To hear these broadcasts on a computer or smartphone, log on to our website, KURM.net, and the Listen Now icon for the AM stream or the FM stream.
Hi, this is Coach Ken Hatfield. You're listening to the sports voice of the three states, KURM 790 AM.